message this morning, which we'll be taking again from just the last part of last week's. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 27. But before I read that, I have a question for you. As this is the Advent season, little biblical history here. Can the line of Jesus, his genealogy line, can the line of Jesus, can it be traced back to Rachel? Think about that. Carson, what do you think? You think, can it be traced back to Rachel? Jesus' line, his lineage, you know, his ancestry line, can it be traced back to Rachel? What do you think?
Leah.
What's that? Leah. Exactly. Not Rachel. Leah. Now, who was the one that Jacob, they said, loved the most? Rachel, right? Now, Rachel had two sons. We know Joseph and Benjamin, right? Okay. But Jesus is from the tribe of what?
Judah.
He's the line of the tribe of Judah. And Judah was the second oldest son of Leah. Jacob's first two sons were Reuben and Judah. And the blessing came to Judah because Reuben dishonored his father, dishonored Jacob. So the big blessing came through Judah. So here you see that how God works things. We would think, naturally speaking, humanly speaking, you know, we think like Jacob, hey, Rachel's the one I love. Rachel's my favorite. So Jacob, the father of Israel, name was changed to Israel, and he loved Rachel the best out of her and Leah, 12 sons out of four women. Why wouldn't it stand to reason that would come through Rachel and not Judah? See, Jacob might have thought, or people today would think that, well, Jacob's is God should have honored Jacob. He loved Rachel the most, and so the Messiah should have come through Rachel's line. But God didn't work that way, did he? Instead, God chose, directed it through Leah, the one who wasn't loved as much. Now, a lesson that we can take from that and learn from that, you see, again, is that Leah was not as loved as much as Rachel. But yet the Messiah comes through her line, comes through Judah. But you can also relate that to Christ. Jesus wasn't well spoken of either, was he? He wasn't accepted. But God chose through that. You see how that it comes to the fore, what Paul says in Corinthians, that God uses the things God uses the things that the world thinks is foolish, is not wise. But God's wisdom is above all, isn't it? God uses the foolish things of the world, just as he does people, to show the world and to show the world who he is. See? A good lesson for us in this day and age, and we do live in sorrowful times. Then the message today is based around Advent and the birth of Christ. It will be worked in there. So as we begin this morning, if you'll look at 1 John 2, verses 24 through 27. Because I think this encapsulates the birth and life of Christ. John says, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it is, it has taught you, you abide in him. Now, one of the things that I wanted to go back to a little bit before we continue on with this, because what John is saying here, to encapsulate this, he is saying, remain in the truth. Remain in the truth. For there's a promise that goes with that. And that is eternal life. And notice what John says in verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Now you, again, as I said last week, it's emphatic in the Greek. John is really emphasizing this. He's being really assertive. He's wanting them to get it. It's an exhortation here to abide in the truth. Well, what does that encompass? That abiding in the truth. It encompasses this: confessing the Son. Confessing Christ Jesus. And John is being very personal here. He's bringing it down to the nitty-gritty. Not only for his audience and his readers then, but he's bringing it down to the nitty-gritty for you and I today. And for those in churches all over. That it encompasses, it entails confessing him as not only the Son of God, but as Christ Jesus. As Christ. As the Messiah. The Mashiach. As the Hebrew says. The Anointed One. And this you, in verse 24 here and in following, it's first in the Greek. The first word in the Greek. You, he is saying. Now, that you is emphatic, but it's also plural. He's telling all of his audience, all of his readers, that'd be us even today. You. Abide. And that word abide is in the present imperative. And what it is, brothers and sisters, it is a command. It's not something that you can do if you want to, and not do it if you don't want to, and you're okay. Excuse me. Told my voice, it still isn't quite up to par, but it's getting there. Be worse after the day's over. Anyway, John is saying, you abide. Command. See how assertive he is being? You stay in it. You remain in the truth. You abide in that confession. It's as Gary Berge, the biblical scholar, says, and we have got to get this today because it's not being taught, and it is being, in fact, it is being denigrated. But as Gary Berge said, Truth is not a matter of experience, but a matter of history. He said, our vision of God is anchored in what has happened objectively, not in our perception of who He may be. You get that? People today, and they've been doing this for years, they want to say that all truth is, and that's why they want to believe it, that it's not absolute and it's not objective. All truth is a matter of experience. And we all have different experiences, don't we? So if we all have different experiences, then we all have different truths, don't we? Because truth is a matter of experience. No. Truth is objective. And that's what he's saying here and what John is saying. It's a matter of history. Our vision, our perception, our vision of God is in what happened objectively 2,000 years ago. Over 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was born, and as He grew up, and as Simeon told his mother, a sword would pierce her soul. But He came to redeem His people. O Lamb of God, indeed. But He's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we must never forget that. But you see, what people want to do today and what is happening in many churches is the fact that their idea and their perception of God and of Jesus, I would say, as well, they wanted to rely in their perception of who He is and who He may be.
Do you think that we've all heard many singers, and Debbie was asking me about this not too long ago, we've all heard many singers say, who are not in the church, various singers over the years and that, sing Christmas hymns, have we not? And they sing it wonderful, and they sing it beautifully, don't they? But do many of those people who sing it, do they really believe what they're singing? Do they really understand what they're singing? Say, O Holy Night? Or, O Come All Ye Faithful? Or Silent Night? Holy Night? Christ the Savior is born? Do you think they really believe that? If they did, and if they do, would not one see it in their life, in their conduct? Wouldn't you think so? But so often you don't. So all they become is songs that we've grown up with and we sing. And we sing wonderfully and beautifully. Many professional singers, right? We have their music. Listen to them. And it's great. And it's wonderful. But they just become songs. They don't think about the meaning behind it. Unless it gets around this time of year. But even as Tony was saying, yes, we hear those songs, those hymns, less and less on the radio, in the stores, the malls, and that. Why do you suppose that is? What's that, Jeff? That is correct. Now, I want to get back to it, something that Tony brought up last week, because this plays into this. Remember what John is saying here is, these things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. John is writing this so that they wouldn't be deceived, because how were they being deceived? Because they were denying Christ. But here's the kicker. And this is what Tony brought up that I wanted to bring up this morning, what he brought up last week. You see, those who denied, those false teachers, Gnostics and others, the heretics that John is talking about, do you know what? They believed that Jesus existed. They did. They believed he existed. They believed he lied, that he lived. And they even believed he died. But they did not believe he was the Christ. They did not believe he was the Son of God. What they believed was that some special power from the God, yes, came upon him, this Jesus. But then after he died, that power left him. And he just died.
But they didn't believe that he died for sins. They didn't believe he was the Christ. So how does that relate to today? Because many people today, you would ask them, do you believe Jesus? Do you believe there was a Jesus? And most will say, yes. Well, who was he? Was he the Son of God? Was he God's anointed one? Was he the Messiah? Now, we know the answer to that, don't we? But what are most people going to say? Yeah, a lot of good teachings. Yeah, a lot of good teachings that we would do well to pay attention to and maybe live by. So yeah, he was a great man. He was probably, why they would say, he was probably even greater than any man alive at the time. Why, he might even be the greatest man in all history. I could go that far. So they understand, and they know that Jesus existed. And they would say, yes, we believe that he existed. And that there was a Jesus. Even he was born a long time ago. But those songs you sing on your Christmas? Nah. We don't really believe that. Are you kidding? The Son of God? Why, if there was a God, would he do such a thing as that? My Savior? Your Savior? Well, why do we need someone like that? I've got Buddha. I've got the gods of Hindu. I've got Muhammad. They would say the greatest prophet of all. Even compared to Jesus. But as far as Son of God and the Messiah, the Christ, no. And even those professional singers who sing Silent Night, Holy Night, Oh Holy Night, and all those things and songs and the words that, if you were to ask them, do you believe what those words say? I think they would admit that no. It's a song. I sing it. They're beautiful songs. They have a lot of meaning to people. What meaning do they have to you? It's a song. Now, I can't say that that's what they would say literally. But by their lifestyle and how they live, you can see that they don't believe that. See? So it's not that they don't think that Jesus existed. They do. But it's about Jesus, who he is. And it's just that. And that's why you don't hear the songs on the radio so much anymore. Why you don't hear them in the malls and that. Because people want to shut that part out. They'd rather hear about Rudy, the red-nosed reindeer, or Frosty. You know? Or the polar bear or what have you. You name your animal, whatever. You know, they'd rather hear about them. Why? Because then they don't have to confront the truth. They don't have to come face to face with it. But you see, brothers and sisters, when Jesus was born, he wasn't born just to stay a baby, laying in that manger with a halo around his head, which nowhere in the scripture says that he had a halo around his head, right? But he wasn't born to stay that way. I agree with Brother Gareth Reith when he says, we need to let God's eternal truth have a permanent place in your heart and life. The power of the gospel in a person's life depends on the freedom permitted it. You see that? It depends on the freedom that you and I permitted. The basic teaching of the gospel. That's what John is talking about. John says, notice, conditional in verse 24. If what you heard, it's in the aorist tense. It's past, but it definitely happened. It definitely occurred. John is saying, if what you heard from the beginning, it abides in you, it's established in you, it remains in you. He says, if it does, condition, then you will abide in the Son and you will abide in the Father. But you have to remain in the truth. You have to adhere to the basic teaching of the gospel. And now he uses the future tense in a conditional way. John is saying from the time they become Christians until now. It's the same way with us. But that abide is in the present tense. And again, the you is plural and it's emphatic. And in verse 25, here comes the promise. This is the promise. Present tense, continuous action. This is the promise which he himself made to us. He, referring to Jesus, that is emphatic. To us, emphatic. Eternal life. See, that's what people miss up whenever they think about Acts 2, 38 and 39. They forget about 39. Acts 2, 38 says, what? Repent and be immersed in the name of Christ. For the what? For the remission of your sins. For the forgiveness of your sins. What's that? And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then people want to shut that off. But it's so important to go to verse 39. Along with that, because then Peter says, for the promise is for you and your children and for all, for those who are far off. The promise for everyone. It comes back to this. John and Peter harmonize. John and Peter agree. John is saying the promise, eternal life. People want to just bring it down just to the gift of the Holy Spirit, that it's just the Holy Spirit, but it's so much more than that, people, brothers and sisters. It's eternal life. It's that life abundantly. both present. And this is what people, what we in the church have to understand and get to as well. That eternal life is both present. You and I have it now. It's both present and future. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 17, verse 3? This is eternal life. Jesus said what it was. Notice what he says. This is eternal life, that they may know you, Yahweh, God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now you see, who's speaking there? Who's speaking there? Is it not Jesus? Do you see what he said there? He called himself, literally in the Greek, it's Christ Jesus. He called himself that. And this is eternal life, he said. That they come to know that. That they come to understand that. And this is what we have got to get and what is being missed in many churches today. I agree with Brother Clinton Gill, what he said many years ago, and this is what is missing. He said, we cannot hold fast the message without holding fast the messenger. We cannot hold fast to the gospel. We cannot say that we believe that, that we teach it, and that we remain, and that we hold on to it without holding fast to the messenger as well. And that means who he is. That he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the danger that the false teachers pose is this. They were trying to deceive the people and tell them, you got it all wrong. You don't understand it at all. You wasn't the anointed one. You wasn't the Christ. He wasn't the Son of God. Yeah, he lived. But he had a special power from the great God. And then that it was gone. But Jesus didn't die for no sins. You have to really understand. That's what the danger that the false teachers posed. But John uses a present participle here when he uses that term that they're trying to deceive them. And what John is saying is that these false teachers and heretics did not just have one attempt. We're not just trying to deceive them through one attempt. But they were continually attempting them to lead astray. And so he's glad they're gone. Well, there are those today in churches and elsewhere who pose a danger. And they are continually attempting to lead people astray.
And that's why John says what he does here. And he is saying in verse 27,
as for you, that's us.
That's John's
audience, that's his readers.
As for you,
the anointing, the teaching,
which you received from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide. You abide in him.
John is saying what you were taught, what I taught you, what the other apostles taught you, what you have been taught. John is saying it's not any different now. So if you get a different teaching now, John is saying, beware, because you're being led astray. Brothers and sisters, if we get any different teaching from what we have, we need to be on our guard.
And John uses the present imperative again when he says abide, and he says, abide in it. You remain in it. In closing, I want to quote this statement from Gary Berger, who says,
and let's take this to heart. Whenever the exclusive place of Jesus Christ is jettisoned, when his lordship is lost, serious consequences follow. There are those who want to say unity is all that matters. All that matters is we're united. Really? I would dispute that. Because unity, as someone years ago said, unity that does not regard the truth we know in Jesus Christ may be a unity not worth cherishing. Because whenever you disregard the lordship of Christ and his place in your life and in the church, serious consequences follow. There are those who would say that God doesn't care what's going on. I beg to differ. Don't you? I think he's very aware and very concerned about what's going on. And one day, those who think not, he's going to make them aware that he is and was concerned. Don't you think? And it's not, to me, it's not going to be a pretty picture. Because even though we see Jesus as the Lamb of God, and we rightly do, because he's the Lamb of God who shed his blood for us, we also must never forget that he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that he represents the way, the truth, and the life totally and completely. And when he comes back again, he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And those who are outside of him, who do not believe in him, they're not going to like that. They won't like the outcome. Now, there are those who say, well, the outcome's going to be the same for all. We're just going to be indifferent. You know, we'll just have those of us who do follow him, we'll just have greater rewards than they do. But everybody's still going to be all together. You know, we're still all going to be, you know,
God, after all, he's going to save everyone. It's just in, you know, in different ways. But that's not the Bible that I read. Is it yours? Sadly, no. But oh, that we, if we could get that across to people. The reason why, again, those songs and things are not being displayed in that is because people want to shut who? Not that there was a Jesus, but they want to shut out who Jesus is. That he is the Savior. That he is the Son of God. And that he's the only one that could give them salvation. They want to put that to the side. So if they think they can put it aside, guess what? They think they can put it aside, they can forget about it. So if you put it aside and you forget about it, you know, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to think it's going to come about. One day, he's going to come back again, though. We believe that? Something for us to think about. Let's stand. We're going to sing. Song Jeff's picked out for us.